Our sermon text for consideration this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. We read, "Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense." As you read those words, could you kind of see the picture Isaiah was painting? Could you see that shining light that just pierced the darkness? People being drawn to that light, bearing their gifts along the way from all over the world. And whenever I read those words, the image that comes to my mind is the image of a lighthouse. And you know, I've never really seen a lighthouse from the sea before. I've done the tourist thing. Right, you go and you kind of walk through the lighthouse and they show you the lighthouse keeper's quarters and they tell you the history and the story behind it. I've done that. But I've never been at sea at night when the sky is overcast and the moon and the stars aren't shining. I don't know what it's like to sit in a boat and have those waves just blindly hit you, wondering if the next one's going to come. And to know that the shore's out there, but to be unable to see it, it's got to be an unsettling thing. And in that kind of situation, those lighthouses, they serve a vital function, even in the days of GPS, because they show you where the land is and they guide you in. And when they fail to do their job, the consequences are disastrous. In 1860, the lighthouse of Cape St. George was commissioned. It was along a section of the Australian coast that was problematic, right near Jervis Bay. And they commissioned it, and they got started building it, but it was a comedy of errors to begin with because the maps didn't line up, and the contractor wanted to build it a little closer to the quarry to make sure he could save some money. And at the end of the day, they ended up building the lighthouse about 2.5 miles away from where they needed it. And that 2.5 miles meant that ships approaching from the south could barely see it, and ships approaching from the north couldn't see it at all. And in its short time of operation, there were 23 shipwrecks along that small part of shore it was meant to guard, because it didn't do its job. So what do you do with a lighthouse that doesn't shine? Well, what they did is they ended up building another one. They took down the light, they decommissioned it, but even still, you could see it once in a while from the south, and it became misleading. And so you know what they did with it? From 1917 to 1922, they used it as target practice for the Australian Royal Navy. Today, you can visit it, and this is what it looks like. It's a ruin and a reminder of what happens to a lighthouse that doesn't shine. Israel was a lighthouse of the ancient world. From the time God told Abraham the promise would come from his family, that was their role, that was their identity, and everything about them pointed to that. The Old Testament laws of Moses made them different, made them weird, made them strange, and it's as if it set them upon a point like a lighthouse to shine out to the world. And at the center of all they were and did was the temple, and its sacrifices and its services pointed to the glory of the Lord, that thing that makes God great. And if you think about all the stories in the Old Testament of the glory of the Lord, that cloud the Israelites followed out of Egypt through the Red Sea and to the Promised Land, and all the other times it appears, it always has this in common. God is acting to save. Because that's one of the things that makes our God great. He does what he says. But by the time Isaiah writes, that light was flickering at best, because they forgot who they were. And they broke the law of Moses, and they neglected the worship of the temple, and they followed other gods. And instead of being a people that could draw people to the truth, they were chasing them away, and so many were being lost. So what do you do with a lighthouse that won't shine? God tried to wake them up. During Isaiah's time, the Assyrians came and they destroyed the northern tribes. They came right to the doorstep of Jerusalem. If you remember the story, they surrounded before the Lord delivered them. But still, they didn't learn their lesson. In the end, they would end up like the Cape of the lighthouse or the Cape of St. George, a ruin, as they face the consequences of failing to shine, to be what God called them to be. You see, we are the lighthouse of the world. We are the people that promise today, and we are the people now who have a chance to show that love to others. And now as we sit here at the end of 2025 and the beginning of 2026, it's maybe a time for us to take stock on all the opportunities God gave us over the past year. And if you were to play it back like a highlight reel, if you were to think back on all the experiences you had in the past year, what will we see? How many times would we see situations where we showed people who our God is and what he did for us through our words and actions? And how many times would we see people that hid who they were because we were ashamed of him? How many people were there this past year? We had a chance to lead to the truth. And how many people do we drive away with thoughtless words and careless actions, selfishness? You see, you and I have such a valuable role to play. To some people in our lives, we're the only lights they have. And how many times do we waste opportunity after opportunity? And what is God supposed to do with the light that won't shine? See, when Isaiah writes the words of Isaiah 60, he is not writing to the people of his time. He's writing to generations that would come. Generations that lived in the aftermath of what the people of his time had done. People that would live in the ruin of Jerusalem, live with the temple that had been destroyed, live in captivity in faraway lands. And he told them something. They had broken promise after promise, but the thing that makes God great is that he does what he says, oftentimes in spite of us. And so despite all that had happened, he tells in Isaiah 60 that light would shine. Let me read it again. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth and the seas we brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense. In spite of all that had happened, in spite of all they'd experienced, in spite of the ruin that was Jerusalem and the tragedy of a temple that was destroyed, God says Israel would serve its purpose. That light would come. And could you see the picture of this people living in ruins, shining once more, of a light that pierces the darkness, of people from all over the world being drawn to it? People that were scattered, their sons and their daughters, it says, coming back home. People they had never known, kings from other parts of the world, being drawn to that same light. And at the center of it all is the glory of the Lord. That thing that makes our God great. And one of the things that makes him great is that he acts to save. He doesn't just make promises, he keeps them. He doesn't wait for us to come to him. He finds us through his word, through baptism, and he draws us in. And so the wise men appear. And there are so many things about the wise men we don't know. We don't really know exactly where they came from. We don't know exactly who they were. We don't know how in the world they associated that star they saw with the promise. And we certainly don't understand how it led them right to the house of Joseph and Mary like a GPS. But we know this. They belong there. I think it's funny how often we set up those nativity scenes, right? And you got the angels, you have the shepherds, you have the wise men, and then sometimes you take the wise men, you put them way off in the distance because they weren't maybe there when the shepherds were. And that's true chronologically. But thematically, The shepherds are as much a part of that picture as Joseph and Mary were. Because he is a savior for the nations, and that's what Epiphany is all about. It's remembering that the wise men were just the beginning of a procession that has went through the ages since. And think of how many people have been drawn to the light of that dawn. Ethiopians, who maybe first heard about the gospel through the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip baptized, to Chinese Christians that, according to church tradition, were first reached by the Apostle Thomas, to Christians sitting in America today, that procession has continued from all over the globe. Because God acts, God saves, God finds his people from distant corners, and he brings us together to be a part of one body. And now here we sit. And we are surrounded by the gifts that people before us have brought. As we sing hymns we didn't compose, we confess creeds we didn't write. And just like them, we are gathered from all different places in life. And who knows at what part of the procession we find ourselves in, huh? Maybe we're toward the ends of the parade. Maybe we're more towards the middle than you realize. Whatever the case, now you and I as Christians are people that have been brought here by our God. People that look at that child in the manger and have a chance to celebrate that this Savior is for me, who see that Savior go to the cross and know he bore my darkness there, and that when he walked out of the empty tomb, that light shone for me. That is my life, my resurrection, just as it is yours. And then the vantage point changes, doesn't it? And we realize that now we are the lighthouses of the world. And like I said, when you think back on the previous year, perhaps we think we look a lot like that lighthouse of Cape St. George. Just a wreck as we think about all the wasted opportunities, all the times that instead of drawing people to the truth, we chase them away. But remember what it is that makes our God great. He acts, he forgives, and he gives us a new day in which to serve. And so maybe that's not the best picture for us. This might be a better one. This is a Tower of Hercules. It stands on a peninsula along the coast of northwest Spain. It's a lighthouse that was built by the Romans in the first century, and it's still in operation today. Still shining as it always had. You see, that's us. For all of our failings and all of our faults, God wipes us clean in his blood, forgives us for the past, and he gives us a new year. And think about all that lay in front of you this year. And I don't know what blessings and what challenges you're going to face. I don't know everything that stands around the corner, but I know this. As long as the world turns, there are more that God will bring to that light. And you play such a role. Think of the people in your life. Think of the people you have a chance to know that maybe no one else in the building does. People that maybe you are the only light they have in their life. As you head into 2026, know that God has given you opportunity after opportunity to show them the love that Christ has shown for you. Take a moment to see their faces. Take a moment to think about those opportunities. And then hear the words that God spoke through Isaiah so many years ago. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's immluth.org. Have a great day.